You've got to open and let him have access to all of you, so your whole mind and being will be illumined by the Spirit of God, and then you can truly discern what is of God and what is not. And a lot of times what we're doing is we're calling something that is of God of the devil, and sometimes what is of the devil of God. But we need the discernment that only the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, can give us. And so Jesus said, if any of you, you know, being evil, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And if you're asking him for a loaf of bread, right, or for an egg, he's not going to give you a stone, right? He's not going to give you something else. He's going to give you what you're asking for. So don't worry about the devil. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Trust his heart. Trust him that if you open your life to him, he's going to come in. Amen. You're not going to get some counterfeit. Amen. You see, we can take this to an extreme, you know, in either direction here. You have those who are intellectual believers, and it's all theology, theology, theology. And who can win the Bible debate? And on the other extreme, you just got those who are spiritual, but they have no boundary, no guidelines, because they don't know the word. Amen? And either one of those is out of order, is out of balance. The Bible says that mercy and truth have met together. And in Christ Jesus, that's what happened. Mercy and truth, grace and truth have come together in Christ. And so we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge. Grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be a balanced, amen, believer. So, see, I'm not afraid just to really launch out there and really dive into the deep end, because I trust his heart. I trust that's the safest place to be. It's not in reservation place, the place of reservation, but in the place of full abandon to the Spirit of God. See, we can sample, we can splash around in the shallow waters and say, oh, the water feels pretty good today. Yep. Or you can just take the dive. Say, man, I want to go where the river's going. I want to go where the Spirit of God is going. Amen. I want to be immersed. I want to be baptized, immersed in the Holy Spirit. You need to be filled, saturated with the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not just about getting more information. That information is supposed to point us somewhere. And that's to a person. We've got to get beyond the sacred page to the substance, which is Christ. We need to know him. Not just learn about him, but we want to know him. We learn about him so we can know him. When I know his voice, that's the Lord speaking. Oh, no, that's not the Lord. The Lord wouldn't say that. The Lord wouldn't ask me to do that. Right? If you get familiar with somebody's voice, you can pick them out of a crowd. And you can say, oh, I know who that's. I know who's speaking right now. You know what I'm talking about? Ever sat in a crowd and you can listen to maybe somebody you know really well, and you hear their voice kind of breaks through the mix and say, yeah, I know that's so-and-so talking there. You ever listen just to a recording where there's no faces? You know, sometimes you listen to a tape or a CD now where there's been congregational conversation, people are talking, and you listen for voices and say, oh, I recognize that voice. I know who that is. Right? Why? Because you're familiar with their voice. Because you have a relationship with that person. So we need to know the heart of God. And how do we know the heart of God? Well, guess what? You can't learn God. You can't learn him in a classroom. You can't learn God in a science experiment. God is revealed by the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit reveals God to us. So even if we hear something that theologically may sound correct, it may sound right. That sounds right. It's the Spirit of God that gives us discernment as to what the source really is of that. Because sometimes people have learned how to expound scriptures in such a way that they've learned how to manipulate those scriptures to make them say whatever they want to say and maybe get you to do whatever they want you to do using the Bible. What we want to do is point people to Jesus. Amen. Say, listen, it's not about me. It's not even about you. It's about Jesus. Yes. Amen. In other words, if you want to really know Jesus, you've got to do one thing, and that is you've got to get over yourself. Yeah. You've got to be done with you. You've got to be done with sin. You've got to be done with your ways before you're ready for Jesus. So God brings us to a place called repentance. God exposes the secrets of the heart by the Word and brings us to a realization that we are in trouble with God. We have broken the law of God. We stand condemned. And that Word does what? It brings us to the mercy of God then. All we can do is say, there's no way I can save myself. I'm condemned as a criminal, a sinner, to death. Amen? But there's mercy. There is a Savior. There is someone who took my place. There is someone who can pardon me and release me from the debt that I owe, that I can never pay, and that is Jesus Christ. He is the author and the finisher. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the advocate with the Father. He is our defense attorney. Thank God, if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We can call upon Him, Lord. I don't know about you, but I need to do that quite a bit. Not that I'm intentionally going out and sinning because I don't want to do that. I don't want to grieve the heart of God. But we just make mistakes, don't we? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, yes, that's true. So, thank God. Amen. There's mercy at the cross. It was for this reason that Jesus came. To reconcile us back to God. Well, I'm kind of sharing from really a place that's something that, you know, sometimes God gives me a word and I'm kind of like, oh, okay, Lord. And other times it's like, okay, yeah, yeah. No matter what, we need to say yes, Lord. Amen. Whether we like it or not. And sometimes when God is speaking to us, it isn't pleasant. It doesn't feel good. As a matter of fact, sometimes before you can feel good, you have to feel bad. We have to first be convinced, amen, that we're sinners before we can be forgiven, justified, and made right, and have the peace of God. So sometimes we have to first feel bad before we can feel good. And it's that feeling bad part that we don't like. We are emotional beings. God created us in His image, in His likeness. And so we have a full range of emotions. And are emotions evil? There are some people that believe that emotions are not good, that they're evil. Now, can your emotions fool you? Yes. Do we trust our emotions? No. We trust the Lord. Amen. And good emotions can follow obedience. Would you agree? But we don't obey God because we feel like it. We obey God because, first of all, He deserves it. Not just because He demands it, but because He deserves our obedience. Why? God's commandment is love. God tells us what to do because He's the creator, amen, He's the manufacturer, and He knows what works for us. So it's in our best interest to just say, okay, Lord, You're right, and I'm not. And I want to get into alignment, into agreement with You and what You have to say in Your perspective on things. Because you know what I'm talking about. We all know what it's like to justify ourselves. Turn to your neighbor and say, yes, that's true. We know how to justify what we do. Especially if we get corrected. Often we're prone to blame somebody else for the reason why we did what we did. Or make excuses for why we did what we did. But how many know that it doesn't float with God? God sees it. God knows it. He knows what we're capable of doing. As a matter of fact, if you are a believer today and the Holy Spirit is in you, you have a thing called self-control. And you can do what God told you to do because He's given you the ability to do it. He's given you the grace to obey His voice. The Spirit of the Lord will direct you if you're willing to listen. And a lot of times we're not listening and then we get mad at God because things didn't go the way they should have. We live in a sin-sick world, a fallen world, and things happen. It's not always because you did anything wrong. It's just that we live in a fallen world. And God has given us this thing called free will to choose, to make our own decisions. So God gave you, in a sense, He gave you charge over yourself. It's called self-control. We've got to exercise that. We've got to, every day, we've got to battle that other part of us that doesn't want to listen. And we need to put that to death daily. We need to be listening to the voice of God. All right, Psalm 16:11. This is where kind of we've been camping out for a few weeks. It says, "You will show me the path of life in your presence is full boredom." No, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So it's clear, and there are many references, but it's clear from Scripture that where God is, there's joy and pleasure. So if I'm not experiencing joy and pleasure in my spirit, it means there's a disconnect somewhere. Because we've been given access. You see, sometimes because we live in such a quick fix world, an instant gratification world, we want things immediately. We ask and nothing happens. Oh, nothing happened. I asked. But the Bible says that we need to, Jesus said you need to keep on seeking. You need to go beyond just asking to a place called seeking, seeking the Lord, seeking His face, pressing into God. Because in His presence there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures. So, many believers live as if you have to die and go to heaven before you can experience any pleasure in God. We sing songs about going to heaven, and I thank God that He's prepared a place for us and that someday, amen, we're going to be in this place called heaven. But what Jesus really wants to do is bring heaven into you.
Yes, that's right.
To bring heaven on earth. That's why we pray, "Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth." There's coming a day when the Lord will reign over all the earth. So what God wants to do is put heaven in us. Some other Christians, they acknowledge that, oh yes, we did a very good teaching on the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, gentleness, and all those good things, you know. But yet, the question is are you learning about the fruit of the Spirit? Are you experiencing? Are you displaying? Are you actually releasing the fruit of the Spirit? Are you in joy? Are you in peace? Are you in the love of God? The Bible says to keep yourself in the love of God as you pray in the Holy Spirit. So there is a place where there is bliss, heavenly bliss. There is a place where there is true fullness of joy. There is a place in God where there is pleasure. There is pleasure. However, in order for us to receive that, the superior reality of the kingdom, we have to divorce ourselves with the lesser, inferior things of this world. See, the problem is that we are looking for temporal things to fulfill us, to feed us, to delight ourselves in. We're going after cheap counterfeits, filling up ourselves with this stuff, and then discovering that I'm still not satisfied. If I can just make a better paycheck, have a better job, then I'll have pleasure and fulfillment. I'll have joy. And then when they get that, it's like, well, I guess it wasn't quite what I thought it would be. It's like the new toy on Christmas morning, you know?
Yeah.
Some of them last a little longer than others, but usually by the end of the week, it's already old stuff. You're already planning your list for next Christmas, right? Because earthly things are temporal. Earthly things will not truly satisfy you. What God gives is superior. What God invites us to is a relationship with Him, to come into His presence, into the throne of His mercy and of His grace, and to drink from the river of His pleasures. Oh, that's in the Bible. Imagine that. God is actually pleasurable. But you got to open up the door. You got to let Him in. You got to be done with the lesser things if you want the superior things. You need to quit delighting yourself. Amen. And I'm not against the Seahawks, folks, but the Seahawks didn't die for me. Amen. You got to go beyond the Seahawks. You got to go much higher than that. You get to go to the very presence, the very throne room of God Almighty. And in His presence, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. And what God wants to do is He wants to, because we are in Christ, He wants to release that, the fruit of Himself in our lives, the joy and the love and the peace, the things that we're really looking for are found in Him. And there's no regret. You don't get hung over the next day. Now we know the love of God is more than a feeling. Would you say amen to that? But God gave us feelings and emotions. And some people, some Christians believe that your emotions are not supposed to be a part of your Christian experience. I disagree, right? How many have ever really been joyful and not felt it? Joy. Unspeakable. Full of glory. Perfect love that casts out all sin. No, you ever been in love and not feel it? Now we know there's a sensual, earthly, eros love, amen, that is earthly and sensual and devilish. But God wants to take us higher into the realm of His love, the agape of God, which is a superior reality, amen, and a superior love where there is no fear in that place. When you're clothed in Him, you have utmost confidence because you're with Jesus. Don't mess with me, devil. Jesus has got my back.
That's right.
When you're close to the Lord, you have confidence in God. Pleasure is something that God gave us as a gift. Scientists have discovered that, you know, people that have done a lot of chemicals, you know, in their life, a lot of drugs, you know, chemicals, especially like heroin, that type, and even coke. You know, and now it's meth. But you know, when you've done a lot of chemicals, they say what it does is it robs you of your ability to sense pleasure. So you're going to have the dope to feel pleasure. You see, that's the devil robbing you of something that is God-given. Your ability to sense pleasure. Now, once again, let me just qualify this. That pleasure has to be sanctified. Amen. That pleasure has to be in Him, the source of all joy and of all pleasure, and not in the lesser things. See, the devil wants to be worshipped. He just wants you to worship him. So he's going to offer you alternatives. He's going to say something such as, oh, listen, what I got is so much better than what God's offering you. Did God really mean what He said? I don't think so. God's holding out on you. What I'm going to give you is so much. Oh man, you really want a party? Come with me. How many know that there's a celebration going on in heaven? There is a party in heaven. Oh, there's no party in heaven. Well, maybe not in your heaven, but in my heaven, there's a party going on. In my heart, amen, there's a celebration because I'm in love with Jesus and Jesus is in love with me and we have sweet communion and I experience the pleasure of knowing Him. Amen. And I want other people to know that God is not, it truly is good. God truly is good. God is so good. You know what I'm saying? Say no. That's why we're encouraged to taste and see that the Lord is good. You see, if we are delighting ourselves in Him, then we will not worship idols. We will not bow down to other gods. We will not bow down to lesser things. We won't allow lesser things to fill our lives. Because God becomes the center of it all, and He becomes your exceeding joy. What I'm telling you today is something that I am experiencing in my life. I have moments of sorrow like anybody else. We all do. See, emotions are God-given. God gives us the ability to weep so that there's a healing that takes place when we weep. It's a release, amen, of stress often and of grief. So all the emotions are God-given. But our emotions, which are connected to our soul, man, need to be sanctified or set apart for the Lord. So out of the Spirit, amen, we are to function. And my mind, will, and emotions are to submit to the Spirit of God. Be directed by the Spirit of God. So I get happy. Sometimes I get so happy I just start dancing and I can't dance. But I don't care. Because when you're happy, you just dance, you know. You just, hallelujah. When was the last time you really got happy? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Extremely happy to be envied. We need Him. That's what we need. We need to find our joy, our completion in Him, our delight in Him who is delightful. You can't love a God who's not lovable or lovely. You can't delight in a God who's not delightful. God wants to break the chains of the oppressor off your life. To liberate you. Like a calf that's been... How many ever seen the calves that they put in these stalls when they make veal? They just lock them into that stall and they just stay there their whole life. And you just feed them and you just sit there. And that's why the meat is so tender. It's like God will take that calf... And you release that calf. There's some video on YouTube where they let these cows go after they'd been locked up for a long time. And the cows are literally jumping and frolicking in the open field. It's amazing to watch. And when God sets a captive free, sets a soul free, you are free indeed. And your whole being will express that. Body, soul, and spirit. David danced before the Lord. And it says that he danced with all his might. His body, his physical being was involved in the process. Oh, I know this goes counter-grain to some of the theology today that says, oh, God's not into emotions. And but yet, I beg to differ with that. One form of idolatry is loving earthly pleasures more than God. Is putting these things before God. A hedonist is one who lives only for pleasure. A hedonist is one who does what? Who lives only for pleasure. So basically, a hedonist is someone who worships pleasure. Their whole goal in life is to feel good. That's why Satanism is attractive to people. Because Satan is saying, if you worship me, you can have all the sex, you can have all the stuff that you think you want, and you will just be so free and happy if you worship me. Mm-hmm. So, a hedonist, again, is someone who just lives for pleasure, and our natural man is inclined to go in that direction because your natural man is fallen, and he's already sold under sin. Influenced by Lucifer. Come on, somebody. So just because somebody, you know, isn't wearing a pentagram and got black fingernails and black lipstick doesn't mean they're not worshiping Satan. There are Satanists that wear a suit and tie. Amen? What it is, and when you worship, and many of them will just admit that they're God, they don't believe in necessarily in a real devil. Some do. But they claim to be Satanists because they worship pleasure. They live for pleasure only. Hedonist. Okay. Now, this is the situation here. This is what the devil is doing to people. He's saying, listen, you follow me, it's going to be party central. You follow God, and it's going to be boring, stiff, stale, lifeless, emotionless. You know what? That's not the God that I know. The God that I have discovered and I'm discovering is way beyond anything the devil offered me. His peace is way beyond anything dope could give me. His joy is an unspeakable joy. His love is a perfect love. Amen. It's not based upon you love me, I love you. It's he loved me first, even when I didn't love him, for God so loved the world. That's God's kind of love. It's a higher love. And what the enemy wants to do is he wants to dress up the lie to make it look like it's better than what God has. But there's a catch. Because in return, he requires your soul. The joy of knowing God. In 2 Timothy 3 and 4, Paul was speaking about what it would be like in the last days. And he said one of the things that would characterize the last days would, he said, men would be lovers of pleasure in verse 4. More than lovers of God. Or rather than in some translations. But it says men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. What is it saying? It's saying that people will worship the creation rather than the Creator. People will indulge themselves in sensual, devilish, soulish, temporal things, and yet they will miss out on the superior love, joy, peace, pleasure, ecstasy of knowing God. What is God saying? He says, come up higher. Come to me. Are you heavy laden? Are you stressed out? I'll give you rest. You'll find refuge in me. You'll find rest for your soul. You'll find a peace that you can't explain. You can't put into words. You can't understand it, but it's real. I can tell you about how good God is, but you're going to have to reach out and taste yourself. You're going to have to take a bite. Amen? You're going to have to drink from the river yourself. I can just tell you that what God is offering you is superior to what the world and the devil is telling you. As soon as you have a bad day, what does the devil do? He says, oh, just go out and drink, go out and smoke, go out and do this, go out and do that. Instead of running to the Lord and finding refuge and finding rest and finding a place of sanctuary. He says, no, you don't, just over here, here's the answer. Here's the quick fix. See, God does not just want us to come to Him when we're in trouble. He doesn't want us just to come to Him when we have a need. Come on, how many of us have been good at that? God wants us to come to Him and experience Him. God wants us to come to Him and delight ourselves in Him. He wants us to experience the exceeding joy of His presence. He wants us to know His love, which is beyond knowledge. You can't learn the love of God in Bible study. The Word of God is there to point us to the living Word of God. Amen? So we may know Him and experience Him in truth. That means in authenticity. To Israel, when the Lord was speaking to Israel concerning a fast that was acceptable to Him, that pleased Him, because a lot of people, they'll just fast with usually purely selfish reasons. I've done that. How about you? You know? And this is what God said to Israel in Isaiah 58 and 13. He says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. He's saying you're focused on yourself and on temporary things. In the New Living Translation, it says it this way. Keep the Sabbath day holy. Don't pursue your own interests on that day, but enjoy the Sabbath and speak of it with delight as the Lord's holy day. Honor the Sabbath and everything you do on that day, and don't follow your own desires or talk idly. Then the Lord will be your delight. I will give you great honor and satisfy you. Now, he's saying, basically in a nutshell, if you turn away from yourself, then you will find the delight of my presence, of knowing me. You can't be full of you and full of Jesus simultaneously. See, there's a part of us that says, I don't like to hear that. I don't want to hear that. That's the part of you that is fallen, that is in rebellion to God. But there's another voice that's saying, this is the way. This is the way, walk in it. This is the way of life. This is the way of abundant life. Turn away from yourself. Get over yourself. And you'll discover me. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody where you're talking back and forth, and before they're even finished speaking, you're ready to answer? Ever hear people talking over each other in politics? You know, or sometimes you're in a conversation, you're not really listening to that person. You're just ready to tell them what you think. Hurry up and get it out, because you got to listen to what I got to say. That's not communication at all. It's one-sided. We've got to get over ourselves. When you are really interested in what somebody has to say, they know it. Would you agree? Somebody's really... Pray for me, because sometimes I'm, you know me. Squirrel. Yeah. But the discipline of listening to what somebody else has to say, giving them that audience, giving them that respect. See, a lot of times we're not hearing God because we're not listening to God. We're just busy talking. We cannot know what God has for us unless we're willing to listen to what He has to say. We can't know what's freely given to us except that the Spirit of God reveals it to us. We can't know the pleasure of God if we're just filling ourselves up on our own things. If we're delighting ourselves in ourselves, you'll miss out on the superior reality of heaven. Amen? If you make this earth your heaven, you may just miss His heaven. See, a lot of people, they call Him Lord, but they don't do what He says. A lot of times we're just coming to God because we have a need or we're in trouble. But God wants us to know how much He's in love with us. How much He really loves us and delights in us and wants us to be with Him. And He wants to share the pleasure of His presence with us. The joy of knowing Him. When I sing that song, it keeps coming back to me. When I find the joy of reaching your heart, my world becomes enthroned in your love. Then all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. God's saying, come up higher. Come out of the chicken yard. Amen. Come up where the eagles soar. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. Isaiah 40. Amen. We need to come up to where God is. He's calling us to come into His throne. Come into His presence. To pursue Him. To seek until you find. And when you find His heart, you'll find in His presence is fullness of joy. There will be an overflowing of joy in your life. And it expressed through your emotions even. Oh yes. Oh, that's the Kundalini spirit. Wherever there's the authentic, there's the counterfeit. The devil wants to steal, you see. And he steals things that are actually from the Lord. And what he wants is he wants the worship. He wants you to worship him. He says that what he has is better than what God's given you. How many believe that's a lie today? How many have discovered that already? How many came to a place in your life where you were just sick and tired of being sick and tired and trying to fill up this emptiness and never really being satisfied? And you just kind of came to a place, there's got to be more than just this. There's got to be more than just slaving away at a job, amen? Going out, watching a movie, eating popcorn, watching the game, going back to sleep and getting up the next morning and doing it all over again. And one of these days you're just going to check out and you hope that you go through the pearly gates and the man upstairs knows who you are. What a measly, poor existence that is. If it's just all about what we're doing right now in the here and now, what's the point? There's something superior. There's a greater reality. There's a place that God is calling us to come to. And it's in Christ. It's Jesus Christ. He's the source of all joy. He's the source of all comfort. He's the source of all pleasure. The highest ecstasy can be found only in God and not in earthly temporal things. So quit filling yourself up on temporary things and start to go beyond what you're seeing, amen, in the natural. Because the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And God is calling us to come into His presence. Hallelujah. That's why you look around here this morning, there's a lot of us that were just like, we're just gluttons for God's presence. Oh, God, give me more. Because it's so good. He's so good. So delightful. So pleasurable. And I've discovered a peace that I could not have known before in my heart. And it's God's peace. There's some of us here this morning that because of distrust, because of broken trust, because all you've known in your life is broken trust and betrayal, that you have a very difficult time trusting God. Because often our view of God is based upon our earthly experiences. And often we just think if God is anything like maybe you're a mom or a dad or a parent figure or somebody in your life, you think if God's anything like that, I'm not interested. And the devil works on that. The devil successfully delivers a lie to many people and they believe that somehow, yeah, you can't trust God either. And he comes up and he says, you know what? God's really not good. How could God allow bad things to happen to good people? So God's really not good. That's a study for another day, isn't it? But what he does is he lies to you. And he tells you, You really want to live? Just follow me. How many know that most people are not going to heaven? Most people are not. Jesus said, wide is the way and many go that way. Few, he says, are going to find the way. And he says, I am the way. It's not your way, but it's my way. He's saying to Israel, listen, if you turn away your foot from doing your own thing on my holy day, he's talking about the Sabbath day here, but he's talking about fasting and why people were fasting. Amen. He's saying, don't make it about you. Make it about the others. Amen. Make it about other people. Make it about God. Don't focus on yourself, but focus on Jesus. And he says, if you do this, if you can get past yourself and get your eyes off you, amen, then your light will break through like the dawn. Then your joy will be full. Because under the law and the Sabbath was a day of rest that God gave, amen, for man, for his benefit. But people just turned it into a religious thing. And even today, people say, well, I'm going to church because I'm supposed to go to church on the Sabbath. But Jesus said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the fulfillment of the Sabbath. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Our Sabbath, our rest, is in Jesus. It's not in some religious ritual. All that God had established and set in order under the law and the prophets was to point us to the fulfillment, which was Jesus Christ. It was to reveal Christ to us, that we might know Him personally. It wasn't about just doing formalities. They didn't understand why God told them to do a lot of these things until the Holy Spirit came and began to remove the veil, and they began to understand the mystery that had been sealed up for generations. And that mystery was Christ in you, the hope of glory. God wants heaven to come into you. God wants heaven to be reflected through you. God wants people to see the reality of who He is through your life. So we've got to come into the place where we pursue and find His heart, and that we are consumed by Him in the sense that He saturates or fills our life with His presence. And where the presence of the Lord is, there is joy and there is pleasure, according to the Word of God. And that's what people are looking for. They're not looking for gloomy Christian. A gloomy Christian is a disconnected Christian. A joyful Christian is one who is connected to the source of all joy. Thank you, Jesus. Jeremiah 31 and 3, here's another one. We're going to finish up here shortly. But the Lord has appeared of old or long ago to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. This is God's thoughts concerning His people. Do you understand that God has loved you with an everlasting love? And with tender mercies, He's drawn us to Him. How many know it's the goodness of the Lord that leads us to repentance? We see, we've got this thing twisted around to where people, their Christian experience, their God is actually boring, lifeless, joyless, powerless. That's not my God. My God is a happy God. As a matter of fact, Hebrews tells us that God anointed Jesus with the oil of joy above all His companions. Jesus is a happy Jesus. He's not depressed. He's not gloomy. He's not sad. God wants us to get over ourselves. Hear me, I'm almost through. Hear this. Self-pity does not please God. Because self-pity means I'm self-centered. I'm focused on myself. I'm just thinking about me. And that's not the heart of God. That's not agape, God. Jesus didn't come to think about himself. If he had thought about himself, he would have never gone to the cross for you and I. So, whenever I'm getting into self-pity, I have to realize that I'm full of myself. There's the problem. There lies the problem. And so what do? I've got to get beyond myself. I've got to get over myself. I've got to get past myself. And I've got to get into the presence of my Father. And all of a sudden, the things that were this big are just that big now. And now, before, all I could see was the problem. And now I'm looking at it from above the problem and saying, is that what I was so stressed about? Because now I'm seeing things from his perspective. Oh, God, you're so good. So delightful. So joy inspiring. He is our exceeding joy. How many say, I really want the joy of the Lord in my life? Does the Bible not say the joy of the Lord is your strength? So if we don't have joy, we don't have strength. And where does that joy come from? It doesn't come from the Seahawks, I'm sorry. It comes from Jesus, the source of all joy. He is our exceeding joy, our great reward. So let's pursue the heart of our Father. Discover the joy of reaching his heart. And your world will be consumed with the love of God. Your life will be an expression of God because you're going to be full of him. You can't be full of Jesus and not splash over, amen, and be a witness to others. Jesus began his ministry with wine and he finished his ministry with marital wine. Wine at the Feast of Canaan, right? And then later on before he went to the cross. He suffered. He sorrowed for us. All the emotions Jesus experienced, he knows what we go through. He knows what we experience. But he wants to turn your mourning into dancing. He wants to give you beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You cast off those grave clothes. Amen. Put on the armor of God. Put on the armor of light. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. And his desires will become in you. Amen. Your desire. That's what happens. Your heart is changed in his presence. Now I desire the things that he desires. Now I love the things he loves and I hate the things he hates. I have a new normal. Hallelujah. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, we believe in you. We believe that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. We believe in your presence is fullness of joy. And at your right hand are our pleasures forevermore. We believe that you have given us access to the river of your pleasures. Your word says it. And we believe what you say. And we believe that you are inviting us to your banqueting table. And that your banner over us is joy. It's love. It's peace. It's goodness. It's faithfulness. It's gentleness. It's self-control. Lord, it's your presence that we need. It's your presence that we desire. Lord, we want our lives to be filled with you. If you're here today and Jesus is not in you, then it's impossible for you to even know what I'm talking about. But I want you to do yourself a big favor and open your heart to God today and allow God to have access to your heart right now, right where you're at. Just allow God to have access. Say, Lord, I really am tired of my ways. I'm tired of the monster I've become, the mess I've made in my life, the bad choices, the regrets, the guilt and the shame of yesterday and all this junk, all this stuff that I live with day to day. Lord, I really want to be free from all that. I want to be set free. God, I want to be let out of prison, the prison that I've placed myself in. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me and you rose again for me and that you live for me and that you came to set me free. You came to break every chain. You came to loose every captive. You came to give us life and life more abundantly. Lord Jesus, I want you. I want your life. I want to give you my life today. You're here today and you say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want you to stand up right now. Just let them know. Just stand up in the crowd. Say, I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. Just stand up. Go ahead. Take a bold step. He said, if you stand up for me, I'll stand up for you. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. You want to make Jesus Lord of your life? Just stand up. Hallelujah. Make it public. Come on, somebody help somebody today. There's one back there. Hallelujah. And maybe you're here today and you say, I just want more of you, Lord, in my life. Lord, I'm tired of lesser things. I'm sorry, Lord, for making gods out of things, out of temporary things, and seeking to fill myself up on temporary pleasures of this world that never really satisfy. But Lord, I want to experience the pleasure of knowing you. I want to know the joy of your presence, and I want you to fill me with your joy. I want you to stand up right now. Hallelujah. Whoo! Whoo! Oh God. Oh God. Whoo! Open up the heavens. Let it rain. Let it rain. Maybe you're just backslidden today. And you just need to get it right. Get back with God. You want to start walking with God again. You want to start, you know, you want to be a disciple of Jesus. Just stand up. Say, I want to join in the army of God. I want to be a part of this thing, Lord. I don't want to just spend myself on temporary vain stuff. God, I want to live and I want my life to count. I want it to matter in eternity. I want to hear you say in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. You see, Jesus said, look at you and know who you are because you lived like he did in this world. You had a relationship with Jesus. All of us need that. Hallelujah. Now just start out with giving thanks to God. Thank him for his goodness. Thank him for his blessings. Thank him for the message you heard today. Thank him for who he is. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Do you believe Jesus accepts you today? He said, if you come to me, I won't reject you. Just come to him. We say, I want to come to Jesus today. And say, I receive Jesus today. Hallelujah. How many say, I receive Jesus today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now let's turn our eyes on him. Let's give him our full attention right now. Hallelujah. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, I ask for your divine intervention right now. Lord, in every person. God, I pray that heaven will come down right now upon your people. I pray right now, God, your glory will fall. God, I pray that you would fill your people, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, that you will delight us in you, that you refresh us in you today, that you bring us into the joy and the pleasure of your presence today. God, I want you to fill my life again, to flood my soul with your joy. Hallelujah. 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 And you just say, I want all that you have for me, Jesus. Lord, I want all that you have for me. God, I I want to make heaven my home, but I also want to bring heaven, Lord, into this earth. I want to be a vessel that you use. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.